This is the Clarion Report, watching, reporting and counteracting global terrorism.
Mayor Rusvirsky, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for speaking to us a little bit earlier today, but I really wanted to have the time to try and unpack what has gone on and the world that has changed in the last 3 days. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, Howard.
All right. So first of all, can you give us a little bit of background? Because if you had to read my Twitter timeline, you would think that this is either the most evil guy in the world or he was an official of the Iranian government that was there in Iraq to conduct Iranian business. And America had no right to do what they did. Give us a sense of who this man was.
Well, I think that both of those thoughts are right, except for the fact that America had no right to do what they did. He was the worst terrorist, the most evil man in the world, and he also was an agent of the Iranian government. Put those two things together with all the power of the Iranian government behind that, and you've got a pretty bad player in the world. This man was responsible for the strategy, for the military operations, for all the nefarious extra-territorial wars that through proxies and Iranian forces that Iran has been conducting in the Middle East, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon. He is the man behind it.
So why is that, that if he is this, is this character, why do we have a tale of two completely different narratives?
Well, as I said, I don't think they're two different narratives, but you know, you always have kind of the naysayers. Look, you have the whole Europe who basically has bowed down to Iran because they want to do business with Iran. You have the evil players in the world, Turkey and Russia and China, that also want have an alliance with Iran, both for business and for military reasons. And you had the whole Obama administration who was trying to construct a legacy of quote unquote peace with Iran that put billions of dollars into these mullahs' coffers. So you have definitely different ideologies going on in the world. But one thing that I've learned throughout everything is if you can't understand a situation, look for the money trail. Iran offers huge amounts of business opportunities for all of these players, especially the Europeans. And you know, this is one of the things that I think we have to look at.
Yeah, it's very, very frightening. What do you think is going to happen next?
That's a very good question. Well, I think that the first retaliation, the first trying to save face for Iran is going to happen in Iraq. I think that when they, you know, first of all, Iran is in shock right now and they have to figure out what they want to do. As much as we talk about the fanatical mullahs, they are fanatical and, you know, they could bring upon self-destruction, but they might be more rational than we think because they've been very rationally, you know, poking the bear, and they saw what happened at the last poke. So I think that what's going to happen is there's going to basically be a turf war in Iraq, that there's going to be a war from the Iranian-backed government and the militias to try to get the American forces out of there, and there's going to be a push by America and the Iraqi people who don't want Iran there to get the Iranian forces out of there. And otherwise, I think that Iran is going to bide their time and think about how they're going to respond.
The fact that the Americans have been told by the Iraqis to leave Iraq, what do you make of that?
Well, I make of that as, first of all, who have they been told by? They've been told by a puppet government that is only an acting, you know, prime minister and an acting legislature right now. And, you know, for them to say anything else would probably, you know, be sure death because we, you know, under the Obama administration, America let Iran take over Iraq. There were agreements that, you know, the Iraqi military had rights there, that these Iraqi militias became part of the official, the Iranian-backed Iraqi missiles, militias, the Shiite militias that were, by the way, responsible for so many American deaths during the Iraqi war. They said Soleimani himself was responsible for at least 600 American troops, the deaths of 600 American troops. So they, those militias became official members of the Iraqi army. They were just putting their stakes in. And this is what we're seeing now, that we're seeing the fruit of that Obama let happen. And the protests that we've been seeing by the Iraqi people are protests against that Iranian influence in Iraq. They don't want the Iranians there.
But yet if the Americans withdraw completely, surely it is creating or paving the way for a complete Iran takeover, which they almost have done anyway.
Right. So I don't think that America is going to pay attention to that. I just was listening to Pompeo speaking, saying that America will, somebody was pressing him about this same issue, that the Iraqi parliament and the prime minister had said that, you know, America had no right to be there and they had voted America out of Iraq. America is sending thousands of more troops there. Last week they sent 750. I'm trying to remember it. We're sending like 3,000 or 4,000 more troops there this week. America is not going anywhere. America has the support of the Iraqi people, and America is going to protect its interests. And that was Pompeo's line over and over again this newscaster kept asking him, well, what if they kick you out? What if they kick you out? And Pompeo was saying, we are not going to turn our back on American interests in the region.
And finally, the funeral that took place yesterday in Iran. It was one of the largest things I've ever seen, and I can't imagine that everybody was there just to make sure that he really was dead. Were people actually devastated by this loss, the people of Iran, or were they coerced to be there?
I think there really is a battle for the soul of Iran. You know, we're connected to a lot of the opposition groups. We have videos that we published on Clarion Project about people being so happy that America had taken out Soleimani. But there's definitely a hugely brainwashed population that supports the mullahs. That goes without saying in Iran. And that Iran is going to have to sort that out. If the leadership falls and we see, you know, a kind of instability in Iran that could put in a new type of government, there could very easily be a civil war.
Really, really frightening. Actually, before I let you go, I do want to raise one more question. And my kids were asking me about this last night, and I didn't really have the answer. This red flag that Iran seems to or has raised apparently has tremendous significance. And I don't know if it's just about the loss of one of their leaders or if this is almost a declaration of war.
I don't know anything about that red flag. I'm sorry, but I can't answer your question.
Okay, so I'll tell you exactly what it is because my kids were forcing me to do some research on it. It's apparently, well, let me just go to it. I'll have to try and find it. But it is apparently something to do with the fact that they here we go. A red flag has been raised during a ceremony to honor Iran's top general Soleimani, who in a declaration that they are ready for war. Red flags in Shiite tradition symbolize both blood spilt unjustly and serve as a call to avenge a person who is slain.
Yeah, I think that probably sums it up. Look, they're gonna be doing all this kind of thing. Whatever bluster they're gonna come up with for their people and the people have these type of feelings, and the government is gonna have to go with it. They're gonna have to show the people that they're not weak and that they're gonna do something about it. What they're gonna do, who knows? But they better not push Trump too much because I think it'll be devastating for Iran. But of course they're going to, you know, one of the things that we know about, you know, these kind of cultures, the Persian culture, the Arab culture is, you know, honor is everything. Ego is everything. So they can't, you know, they can't roll over and just do nothing or have any feelings. You know, this is part of that type of honor culture.
Absolutely fascinating. That's Mary Rozvorsky. We speak to her every Monday.